That is
Who made that?
I don't know. I don't know who made that. I don't know. I think that's much more ancient. I think that was more modern. Adonolam is much, much older. And that no one has a problem with. The same thing with Vilna Goyim. Vilna Goyim, someone when we brought him a parish on brought him a sefer for Haskama. And the Vilna Goyim, he read the first word in the sefer was, why does Shachris begin with Adoin Olam? And this, the person who wrote the sefer said, because the Shachris, because the Shachris, Kineged, Avraham Avinu. He is the one who enacted, established Tefillah Shachris. And Avraham was the person who called HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Adoin. He called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. He referred to Hashem, therefore, as in tribute to Avraham Avinu, we begin davening with Adoin Olam, the words that Avraham Avinu selected to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adon Olam is a tribute in essence to Avraham Avinu, and being that Shacharis is the prayer of Avraham Avinu, so we start off Shacharis with a tribute to Avraham Avinu. So the Vilna Goyim said the whole Sefer is Kedai just for this part. Just for this part, the whole Sefer is worth it. Even if the whole Sefer is nonsense, it's worth it just for one part. That's the whole life. You go through the whole day. What do you accomplish the whole day? If you can extract from one day even one good deed, one thing that you learned that made an impact upon you, the whole day is worth it. All the animas nefesh, all of the problems, all of the frustrations that we go through during the day, the heat, the sweltering heat, it's all worth it for that one moment. That one moment, when does that moment occur? It can occur any time. Certainly, if you're zoiche, to have many moments. Some people, they're very fortunate. The whole day is filled with memorable, meaningful things. The truth is, every moment is memorable and meaningful. We don't realize it. But there are moments when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift, and he actually reveals the meaningfulness of the day. So here we have, I just found it very intriguing, this expression over here in Pasuk Hey, that when your eyes will witness the greatness of what's happening, when you're living upon the Holy Land, and you're going to say, Yigdal Hashem. I just find it very interesting because that's exactly, it's like, you know, it just rings in my head, because that's what we say Yigdal. We say Yigdal Elokim. We don't say Yigdal Hashem, we say Yigdal Elokim Midas Hadin. Elokim is Midas Hadin. Here it's Yigdal Hashem Midas Harachem. There's no question whoever he is. Malachi is not referring to the Piyut. The Piyut did not exist until probably a few hundred years ago.
Well, Elokim is probably the chosen term
because Midas Hadin. Now in Golos.
Because Elokim
yeah.
That expression goes together. Elokim Chayim. Yeah. That's usually a modifier for Elokim.
You mean Chay? Chay is saying is a modifier. Chay is a modifier for Elokim more so than Yitzchak Vavke?
That's what I think.
Okay. Okay, I hear you. Okay, now let's see the Malbim. The Malbim, we're up to the Malbim. Malbim is on page 865. This is where we're up to. We're up to Pasuk Dal. Malbim ki sama edam ulaval ulaval yomu shekol zein roaya shuv b'sibas asina. The Malbim here is telling us the Pasuk Dal is a direct continuation from what from Pasuk Gimel. It's a continuation that there's a conversation between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. As to, does Hashem really love us? Does Hashem love us or does Hashem hate us? So Hashem says, I love you. And then Klal Yisrael says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, prove it. And Hashem says, you have the same yichus as Esav. And Esav I've destroyed. Esav I have brought upon them severe punishment and suffering. And you I've bestowed kindness. Why? If it's because of your yichus, you have exactly the same yichus. It must be that there's something very special about you. And Pasuk Dalet continues in that theme where it says, "V'chi soymer edem ulaval yomir shakol ze'ein roya shu b'sibas asin sheyesh l'Hashem al Esav sheyesh l'mashuhu misibas hamareches v'hamazel she'ein matzliach al Esav ayshu b'mikra There's a lot of mamish philosophy, it's like a course in philosophy. This is part of the continue the conversation. Hashem says, look, you have the same yichus, and Esav I've destroyed, and you have bestowed blessings. So Klal Yisrael says, that's not a proof that you really love us. The reason why Esav has suffered defeat and harm is because Esav has bad mazel. He's bad mazel. You know, you see people all the time. You know, some people, they have just good mazel. I just find this phenomenon to be amazing. Someone yesterday circulated a speech. I would really give it to you, but now that I'm criticizing the speech, I can't give it to you anymore. It's a very long. I didn't listen to the whole thing because I'm not patient. I got 45 minutes, and the person who's speaking is. He sounds like to me like he's about 50 years old, and he must be a multi millionaire. There's no question that he has in his bank account hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's talking. He's basically talking, giving mussar, and he manages other people's wealth, and he's giving mussar, very very powerful mussar, telling people that he deals with the wealthiest people in the world, manages their wealth, and every day he hears about suicides and broken marriages and drugs and the problems. What he sees in the world is not to be believed. He says money is the greatest weapon of mass destruction. People that he deals with are phenomenally wealthy, and the vast majority of them, their lives have been thoroughly destroyed beyond repair due to their wealth. The money has completely destroyed. You would imagine that everyone, who doesn't want to be rich? People will give their right arm, trade in their right arm for a couple of million dollars. Who doesn't want to be wealthy?
They see a lottery
winners. Every year he mentioned that. He wrote a book, in fact, he says he has a whole chapter on that. All the factors, all the lottery winners, you ask them 25 years later, they'll all tell you it was in hindsight, it was the biggest curse that happened to them.
Sudden wealth certainly changes.
Not only sudden wealth, even inherited wealth. Even wealth.
Yeah, because you don't work.
No one could. I don't believe that. To me, what he's telling me over here to me is total nonsense to me, because you know, I don't have this concern. I'm chalishing from everyone else is chalishing from the 2%, and he describes how money destroys. Everyone wants it, and when you get it, he deals with those people who have it. It destroys them. And money, it brings, whether you like it or not, and this is really true, it brings gaiva. Someone has money, everyone loves, everyone kisses up to it, everyone attaches them, even if they get nothing out of it, even if they have to pay, just to be associated with a rich person, it's intoxicating. And his experience of this, it destroys. And I'm listening to this, and he's giving mussar, and he's telling people that the only thing that's going to give you satisfaction is learning the Daf Gemara, is Zir Shemayim. Everything he says is so true. Everything he says, and originally it made a very powerful impact upon me. I listened to this shir, and it really made an impact on me. He really is super duper sincere, and he's very articulate, and we all relate to him because he's Echad mechavarenu, echad mebnei achavura. He's one imam, like a regular guy, and everything he says is true. But then after I let the dust settle, after I let this speech, this drush, like, you know, settle in my mind, I sort of resent it. You know why? Because there's no doubt in my mind, this person, because I've seen this with other people, you have a mazel. You have this crazy mazel that whatever you touch becomes gold. There are people like that. What? Are you so smart? You're so brilliant? What is it about you? I don't see that certain people that I know that are phenomenally wealthy, I don't know too many of them, one or two or three people that I know, what is it about you? Is it because you're a genius? Not. You're nothing special. You're just average, like everyone else. You have yichus. I don't know. Maybe I've. There's something in this world. As you get older, you realize there are certain people that, for whatever a reason, cannot be defined. Hashem just gives them crazy amount of money. It just comes to them. How? I don't know. What? Bill Gates is so smart. Bill Gates is so smart. Dorsey is so smart. Mark Zuckerberg. There are a million people out there that are no different than Mark Zuckerberg. So why is Mark Zuckerberg such a billionaire? Why?
What's Bill once said that wealth is a bigger nisayon than poverty.
That's what this person was saying. You see, but this is what I really it did not. I listened to the shir. I listened to the speech. He was speaking to people in business and talking about how exactly what you just said. It's a curse. It's going to destroy you. I was very moved and very impressed with what he said. It really made an impact. But after the dust settled, I don't like what he said. You know why? Because it's so clear to me, you don't relate to me. I don't relate to you because you, all of your wealth, I really don't believe it's because you're anything special. Who am I to say? I'm just jealous. Okay, maybe. But I know, I see this with other people. Whatever you touch turns into gold. Why? I've tried my couple of years, I've tried so many different, when I was working more full time. After college, I was working in different things, and I applied myself to different ventures, different types. So you'll tell me I didn't try hard enough. All right, I know plenty of people that tried a lot less hard than me, and they hit the gold mine, a lot less hard than me. And I applied, and I lost sleep, and I worked very, very hard. And I always felt like it's just not going. I'm always hitting a wall wherever I go. Okay, try harder. Okay, do this. And then I see these other people like, why you? Who are you? And it's very clear. There are people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just, for whatever the reason is, we don't understand this. Hashem wants them to have the money. Why? And you know, everything he said to this fellow is 100% true. So he says, he brings out that there are three reasons. He brings out from the Shabbat Tachan. I think from the Shabbat Tachan, there are three reasons why Hashem gives a person super wealth. Number one, because he's a good custodian. Because Klal Yisrael needs rich people. You see buildings, okay? There are people, there are names on buildings. Klal Yisrael needs rich people. We need a lot of wealthy people to keep Klal Yisrael going. And Hashem selects people who are good custodians. There are people that know how to deal with money. They know how to manage money very well, and Hashem uses them as a channel to help Klal Yisrael. That's number one. Number two, Hashem gives money to a person as a punishment. Mamash, a punishment to destroy their lives. When they get the money, they don't know what they're doing with the money. It destroys them, destroys their children, destroys their family. And he says, this fellow who's darshening, he says, he sees that every single day when in his business, managing people's wealth, what goes on, you would not even begin to believe how that money is literally, it's like Rachmanelos, when a person is diagnosed with an illness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a couple of million dollars. This is the biggest illness in the world. It leads to the most horrible things. And the third reason, same with Shai B'tochen, the third reason why Hashem gives a person super duper wealth is a test. Hashem v'elokim nisa es Avraham. It's a nisayon. It's a test. Hashem is testing the person how he will be able to deal with this situation. Three reasons. He's a good custodian, it is a punishment, or it is a nisayon. But see now, why am I telling you all this? Because what it says over here in this pasuk with Esav, I listened to this speech. It was very moving. As I said, it was very sincere, very powerful, very, very real, very, very real. And it made an impression on me. But I found this many times. After all of the dust settles, after you know you're taken in by the inspiration of the moment, does it last? Does the inspiration last, or does it just, it's a fleeting type of inspiration? It's always a test. You go to an inspirational speech. Now during the 9 days, now you know they have, you know, Hakel, they have speeches every night, they have, you know, internet, you can go listen. There are not enough hours in multiple lifetimes to listen to all of the inspirational shiurim that are available online today. Torah Anytime, YUTorah.org, plus a whole collection of other websites. There's literally, you need multiple lifetimes to listen to all of the inspirational talks that are available online. They're all very good. And I don't listen to these things too much anymore than I used to. And I found something very interesting, that at the time, I was very inspired, but it didn't last too long. For some reason, very few of these inspirations, for me personally, it just wears off. It doesn't really make an impact for long term. And I always said, why? Why? What is it? What? And some things do. Some things I can tell you right now. I remember what people said. It made an impact on me. It's hard. It's hard to define what leaves an impact. But this person who spoke, it was some powerful, powerful words. And at the end, it wore off. And I say to myself, why did it wear off? And it's exactly what it says over here in the Malbim. I don't relate to you. I don't relate to you. You know why I don't relate to you? You're literally in a different league. This person that's speaking clearly has hundreds of millions of dollars in his bank. There's no question of that. That's what's mashma from what he's talking. Whatever you touch is gold. I don't view you to be a great genius. I pick up already where he's coming from, what yeshivas he went through, what he did. He's a great guy, a very good guy, Yerush Shemayim. You know, he's much greater than I'll ever be. I'm not questioning that. I don't look at him as anything really different than many other people that I know that are dirt poor and work their heads off to just to earn a few dollars, just to survive. There's something in this world of a mazel. The mazel, whatever you touch becomes gold. And there are some people, whatever they do, no matter how hard they try, they don't succeed. Hashem doesn't want you. This is not what Hashem wants from you.
The person was speaking from success. He was on top of the mountain. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. But why? So I don't relate to him. Why don't I relate to him? So he's like a regular guy. So the, you know, he was saying, like, in part of his speech, he'll tell everyone. He says, you know, I haven't done anything to my home. I live in a regular house. Like everyone here in the room, if you come to my house, you wouldn't even know how much money I have in the bank. I have not done a thing to my home in the last 15 years. I haven't painted my home. I haven't done anything. I'm the same 15 years. And if I want, I can buy what. Anything that I want, I can buy. Car, I drive the same, I have a lease, the same lease like the poorest guy, an average Joe here in Flatbush has. If I want, I can buy the most expensive car for who knows how much. So he went on to say, if I was a Rav, and I would tell this to you, you would all say to me, oh, the Rav is jealous. The Rav is jealous. So if the Rav tells people that money is a waste, it's a narishkeit, it's a mishagas, you don't need to have a $200,000 car, you don't need to have a $10 million house, so you would say, oh, what does the Rav know? What does the Rav know? The Rav is jealous. The Rav is this. But I'm telling you, I can buy it. I wouldn't make a dent in my wealth if I would go buy a $200,000 car, if I would go and I would buy a gated castle somewhere in a place in this world that you never heard of. Far wherever you want to be. It wouldn't. And I don't. I live here with all of you. You wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even know. Wouldn't know. I'm telling you, this is not what's going to give you happiness. It's going to, having these things is going to destroy you. And it went on and on and on and on. And therefore, you can relate to me. You can relate to me. So that's right. When I was listening, I was very taken. I can relate to him. That's talking true. But you know something? When the day is over, when the shir was over and all the dust settled, I can't relate to you. Because obviously, you know a few of these type of people, you meet them, you know, you get older, so you know some of your friends or that all of a sudden became mega billionaires, and everyone else, and all of the other friends, They literally don't have a penny to their name and are struggling to survive, and they're good people. They work very hard. They did everything they're supposed to. They went to school, you know, they went to college, and they got their first, you know, intern, and they did this, did that. And now they find themselves struggling. They find themselves whatever it is. They find, well, because they're not smart. They're just as smart as anyone else. They're just as good as anyone else. You see this over and over. In this world, there's a mazel. There are people that just somehow, for some reason, you cannot put your finger on. Hashem wants them to have super wealth. And there are people that who try and work and struggle, Hashem just doesn't want. Why? No one knows. You want to read what it says in Shaar B'Tochen? Okay, that's all very theoretical. Is it practical? So here, we're going over here to mamish this idea. Over here, we're having a conversation between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael says to Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, I love you. Klal Yisrael says to Hashem, prove it. Prove it. Prove that you love us. So Hashem says, look, you have a brother. Your brother's name is Esav. He has the same yichus. He's exactly the same as you. Same mother, same father, same education. You grew up together, you went to yeshiva together, you learned in your mother's womb, the malach told you both together. Him, I've destroyed. I've obliterated him off the face of this earth. He has groisitzars, the gvul risha. They're called the om asher, zom Hashem, adalam. You, I gave you the Torah, I gave you Eretz Yisrael, I gave you bracha, ad belidai. So doesn't that show that I love you because there's something special about you that has nothing to do with your yichus? So Klal Yisrael says back, not so fast, Hashem. We have good mazel. Esav has bad mazel. It's not because we're anything special. And I'm telling you, you see this in this world today. There are certain mega rich people.
But mazel is from Hashem.
What?
Mazel is from Hashem.
So you see, you're making a good point, but it, mazel is from Hashem, but why? Because they deserve it? Over here, Klal Yisrael over here is saying, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is saying that you deserve it. You are tzaddikim. You are doing Hashem's will. You're learning Torah. You're davening. You're doing chesed. You're being moiser nefesh to serve Hashem. Esav is a rasha. Esav, when he was bar mitzvah, what did he do? He went, avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shfichas damim. Esav is a roitzeach. Esav, an ish tzayid, is an ish sodeh. He's a deceiver. He's a corrupt criminal. So that's why I punished him. So Klal Yisrael says, wait a minute. Don't tell me the reason why Esav suffers is because he's a deceiver, he's deceptive, he's a rotzeach, he's a wicked person. Not true. You know why? He's bad mazel, that's why. Bad mazel. It's not because of his midos and his maisim. And our success is not because of our good midos and our maisim. Mazel! There is such a principle in this world called mazel that is outside the spectrum, at least at the moment. Obviously, there's a din v'cheshbon. Don't get me wrong. We're not being koy from over here. A person, an olam ha'emes, is going to be judged, is going to be rewarded and punished for every little dot. There's no question. But look around. You get a little bit older in this world, and you look at your friends, and you look at people that you know, and there are certain people that are on the top of the world. Who are they? Who are they? There's something that's special? Mark Zuckerberg. Tell me, what is special about him? Can you, you know, I don't know him all that well. You study Bill Gates. Bill Gates, I know a little bit. I think I've over the years, I've been paying much more attention to Bill Gates. The more I know about Bill Gates, the more disturbed I am. The guy is nuts. His mom is crazy. He's really, really, I never knew all these new things that have been revealed about Bill Gates. I remember when Microsoft started, back in college, Windows 3.1, I had a friend that was totally obsessed with Bill Gates, and he was telling me about Bill Gates, and he told me all these things about him, and I read up a little bit about him. You know, there are a lot of people out there. There are millions of people in the world that are just like Bill Gates. Why did he achieve this crazy amount of success? Why did Mark Zurich? Why did Dorsey? Why did all these people? I was watching a clip yesterday from who's the billionaire of the world? Old guy, he's an old man.
Warren Buffett.
Yeah, Warren Buffett. So I was watching, interviewed Warren Buffett. I was watching very, very carefully on the clip. He was basically saying that, there's going to be another very big, there's going to be a pandemic that's coming that's going to be much, much worse than Corona. It's coming very soon. Another pandemic, much worse. I'm listening to this guy. He's sitting there. How do you know? How do you know? And he's talking, top of the world. He's an old man. How old is he? He looks like an old man. What? He looks like to me like a guy I would see, you know, in some sitting in a
this was this billionaire's camp.
Sitting in a senior citizen center playing bingo. Who are you? Who are you? You don't make any impression. You don't make no impression, and you talk with such gaiva, like top of the world, on top of the world. And there's going to be another pandemic very soon. It's going to wipe out the whole. Who are you? Keep your mouth shut. Who are you? What do you think you are? What? Oh, of course. And I saw the reporter that was talking, was mamish sittering from him. What? Sittering from him. This is the gadol. This is the ribbono shel olam. Because he has more money than the whole world put together. Listen, so you know, it says in Chazal, you're not allowed to say something bad about an usher. I'm not saying anything bad. I don't want to say anything bad. But I'm not saying anything bad. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him money, obviously Hashem gave him money for a reason. Hashem gave him we have to have respect. I'm assuming that's what Chazal say to a degree. But I look at him, and he's indistinguishable in my eyes from any person out west, you know, sitting in some, you know, I'm not going to go give some examples. It doesn't make any greater. No, you ever see the interview, Nobel Prize winners. So most of them make an impression on me. You watch an interview and you see a brilliant person. You see brilliant, brilliant people. Lately, the Nobel Prize winners don't make any impression. they don't make any. Like, what can I tell you? Some of these Nobel, I'm like, what? This guy won Nobel Prize? Come on! I remember once watching Nobel Prize, like, wow, this guy, you know, smart person. When you see a smart person, you know you see. Everything about Rabelski, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rabelski was a smart person, smart. Like you see a mind. You know, like, this is a mind. A deep, great mind. So why is Warren Buffett, Hashem, he has a mazel. Hashem wants him to have the money. Hashem wants it. Mind your own business. Keep your mouth shut. Ki oif ha-shamayim, what does it say? In your thoughts, uvimad acha melech al tekalel, don't curse the king. It says in Muslim Chazal about the Pasuk Kohelis, about saying something nasty to a wealthy person. But in my eyes, and I think in the eyes of the whole world, it's a mazel. It's nothing more than a mazel. Hashem, for whatever the reason, wants this person to succeed. And for whatever the reason, he does not want this person to succeed. Hashem will give you what you need. You will have what you need. And you do your hishtadlus, you do your best, you do more than your hishtadlus sometimes to have what you need. So this is exactly the argument that Klal Yisrael is making to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Exactly what the Malam is saying. Hashem, you told us you love us. We said back to you, prove it. Hashem says, look, you I blessed, and Esav I cursed. So Klal Yisrael says back, we believe we have emunah shleima that a person is rewarded for his good deeds, and is punished. There's no question about that. An imam be'muna shleima, there's going to be reward for the tzaddikim, there's going to be punishment. But there's a reality in this world that the schar ve'oinesh is not always apparent in this world. It's not always. Sometimes it is. Sometimes a person merits to see he invests in HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing Torah mitzvahs, and he has the zuchus to see in his lifetime, to see reward, and sometimes you don't. And unfortunately, for many people, more often than not, you don't. And why is that? There's a mazel. So the Klal Yisrael is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just because you've given us success, and Esav, you've brought upon them suffering, how do we know that our success is because you really love us? We're living here in this world. We've not yet come to the next world. The Olam HaEmes. We're living in Alma de Shikra. We live in a world of Sheker. And maybe the success that we are experiencing versus the failure of Esav is because simply Mazel. Mazel. Who says? That is what the Malbim is saying. Let's read the words again one more time and start very quickly in Pasuk Dal in the Malbim page 865. V'chi soymar edoim ulaval yoimru. Don't say shekol zein roya. Don't tell me, Hashem, that the reason why you love us is because you've given us success and given them punishment. Shu besibas hasina sheyesh Hashem aleisav sheyesh loim. I'll tell you back. Shu misibas hamareches v'hamazel. Some people, whatever they touch is gold, whatever they touch becomes a korban. She'ein ha-matzliach le'esof. Oishu b'mikre. Ve'ein mizeh ro'oya. It's not a proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. Rak she'ein oya v'esof. The reason why Esof fails because Hashem does not love Esof. And he has bad mazel. L'yashkich lo v'hashkocham yuchendis levat l'men rosa mareches. He has bad mazel. Hashem, he doesn't love Esof enough to take him out of his bad mazel. Aval loy muchach mizeh shu soyne oisoy v'oisa lo rabi poyel v'zehu she'omar v'chi soymar edoy mushashnu. If Edom will say, I'm poor, she'zeh loy bameis Hashem v'sinasa, the reason why I'm poor is not because Hashem hates me, rak mushashnu mitzara teva oy hamazel. No, that's how it goes. Not everyone makes it. V'nashu v'nivne charavos. Let's try again. A time will come when our mazel will change. You know, history, a person's mazel is not forever. Bad mazel, this is a very interesting concept over here. And this is a whole big sugya in and of itself about how this thing called mazel works. When a person is born, we know b'chlal, ein mazel li Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is not subject to mazel, but what does that mean exactly? Chazal said there is mazel. Our boy miyad kodman yitzia machliz v'nashmayim bas poni l'poni, sada poni l'poni, and bayis poni l'poni, sada poni l'poni, and bas poni l'poni. So a person does have mazel. So but it says a mazel li Yisrael. So the answer, the basic answer is the MS is a person, a Jew has mazel. And when it says a mazel li Yisrael, all it means is you're not locked in. You can escape your mazel through the koyach of tila. Through koyach of tila. A guy cannot escape his mazel. That's a very simplistic approach to answering this question. Let me do that. But here's the next question. Let's say a person, unfortunately, does not have the koyach of tila. Not everyone knows how to exploit the koyach of tila to get out of his bad mazel. It's you know, even though Chazal says, oh, you can die. Yeah, very nice, you can go die. How often do we feel that we have succeeded in our tefillahs to escape our mazel? So let's say a person is not from the big daveners, and his subject is just going to allow himself to fall back on his mazel. Here's the next question. How does mazel work? Is mazel, this one you're given to the day you're born, and this one you're going to have your entire life? Or is there such a thing in the world of mazel that mazel changes? Is mazel a lifetime sentence? Or is mazel renewed? The mazel lasts for 20 years, for 10 years, for 5 years. How does mazel work? In Klal Yisrael, we are not subject to mazel. Ein mazel li Yisrael. Hashem said to Aaron Avinu, stop looking in the stars. Enough of this. You're not subject to what it says in the stars. Ein mazel l'shol. David, be mispalel, be mevakesh rachamim. Okay, got it. Everyone is taught that in first grade. But you know, you get a little bit older, not everyone has succeeded in developing the art of prayer. The art of prayer is a skill. Not everyone knows how to fly a 745. Not everyone has a driver's license. And even those who have a driver's license, not everyone knows how to drive. Just because you have tools doesn't mean you know how to use the tools. Do you even know how to use your smartphone? Do you know how many features there are? Most people don't even know 2% of what they can do with their smartphone. Well, you know, you don't even know how powerful the tool, what you can do with your computer. You don't even harness the koyach. So no, I have it. How does that work? Does that only last, is this mazel a lifetime sentence, or does mazel evolve over a person's life, even if he sits back and does nothing for tefillah? Still, things can change for him. The mazel changes over a period of time. That's a tough question, and I don't know the answer. And the Malbim seems to be saying that mazel does change. Mazel is a living organism. It's not static. It's not this is how you got your whole life. If you've not been able to succeed today, don't ever try your entire life. You'll never succeed. The Malbim says, Esav says, this is how we learn from the pasuk. We're poor. Why are we poor? Bad mazel. It's not because Hashem hates us. Hashem doesn't hate us. We're like Yaakov. You know why we're poor? We have bad mazel. Oh, bad mazel. So no, bad mazel is not forever. Mazel changes. It's a dynamic organism, mazel. What?
They don't see themselves as at fault.
Right.
For their mistakes.
Their sins. They'll say, you know, there are a lot of arguments that, you know, these are, you know, all arguments of a person has a natural predisposition to do averus. So you can't hold me accountable for them. Goyim say this. They say this. So they will make this argument. So why then are you suffering? Why are you cursed? I'm not cursed, chas v'shalom. Ben mazel. L'may maskinina. Now, this is a very powerful point that the Malbim is saying. I don't know if everyone agrees to this. The Malbim is saying, therefore, and it's relevant to us, because we also have mazel. You say a person gets certain, mazel toif. What do you think is mazel toif? Bo God. Bo mazal toif. Ooh, a new mazel has come. Again, this is outside the framework of tefillah. This is outside the framework of reward and punishment. No one chas v'shalom to deny the fact that a person will be judged, rewarded, and punished for every single thing. This is the basic tenet of Judaism. There is schar v'ayish. There's no question about it. But you cannot deny the fact that we're living in a world where there are the haves and the have-nots. And it does not appear to any rhyme or reason that the people who have it's because they did good deeds, and the people that do not have it's because they did others. And they start talking about Gilgulim and previous generations. That's not a fair thing to talk about. That's for the Mekubalim. We're not Mekubalim. That is severely abused. That approach and start telling, oh, all of your problems can be solved, can be understood by under your Gilgul. That's a horrible, sinful thing to say. A horrible sin. I almost vomited when I actually read, and I cannot believe they published such garbage, is one of these very, you know, very popular magazines, is the different trying to deal with, let's say, Meron, to deal with the tragedy. So they had all these different Rabbanim, and basically 90% of them, they all basically said, don't go there. They all were responsible, and they said, don't go there. This is a very big nisayon for us. We have no choice. We're makabel. There's no way in the world we can possibly understand why, how, what. Stay away. Have a mubi makabel. The emuna shalema. It's painful. The lack of understanding makes it more painful for that. And then you have people, I mean, I cannot believe, they know why it happened. They know why. these people will, they know, the guy wrote this, this is, again, they will Gilgulim, yeah? Gilgulim, really, wow, very nice. You know this, how do you know this? They were Gilgulim. And then to top it off, someone they wrote, it's because Rashbi, Kaveya, we're not learning enough Zohar. Everyone should be Kaveya, Azman in the day, to learn the Sisrei Torah. And I'm sitting here, are you out of your mind? Either I'm from another world, I'm like, what in the world is going on here? How do you publish this? It's beyond me. But most, 95% of the Rabbanim were very good, they're very, very appealing, at least to me, very satisfying, is basically to say, don't even try to fathom, to think, you're a fool to think you can understand how this can happen, what you understand, make sense out of this. Be mekabel, you have to have a munah pshuta and go forward, and be oisik and termites and toivin, and surrender. Surrender to Hashem, be mekabel, me'ahava, tsar, because there is no way we could possibly understand. And the only thing we have to do is have emunah. Emunah in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, pure emunah. So here, there is, we're dealing here with we got a little sidetrack, we're dealing over here with mazel. So what I was saying is, there's no question that Kadosh Baruch Hu is atzur ta'amin pa'alot yichol d'rachav mishpat. But yet, we cannot deny the fact that in this world there is hester ponim, and there are people that whatever they touch is gold, and some people that they touch is a churban. And here we have a powerful yisod in the Malbim, he learns from the pasuk. Even in the world of mazel, mazel changes over time. Esav said, "Nu, rushashnu, I'm destitute, I'm dirt poor, I have bad mazel. It's okay. Vinoshu v'nivne choravos. I'm going to rebuild. Bo mazal tov. You wish a person mazal tov. Mazal tov, new mazal. You get married, you have a simcha. A simcha, you're making a simcha bar mitzvah, you're making a grandchild, you're marrying a grandchild. You have a child, this happened, that happened, you published a sefer. Mazal tov. Bo mazal tov. Doesn't mean, this nothing to do with Tzchar V'Oynish. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is changing your mazal in this world, giving you new opportunities to use the new situation of goodness and success as a means to serve Hashem better, with more opportunities, so you can earn in the Olam HaEmes greater reward. Mazel changes. So the Pharisee Apostle, according to the Malvim, we learned this from Esau, the Nivne Choravos. No, the mazel is no good today. We'll get back and we'll rebuild. Because Bo Mazal Tov. If this is what we can learn from Esau for us, because we're also subject to mazel.
To an extent.
We have a tool called tefillah, which has to be utilized, but let's be realistic. Not everyone. What? By some toivin, right.
Right, we have the ability to transcend
exactly. Mazel. We have the ability to transcend mazel, but let's be realistic. It's not easy to transcend mazel. It's not. It's very difficult to really do what you're supposed to do to overcome the mazel is not so easy. Chazal, they say many times people, they do everything right, and yet they don't overcome their mazel. Why? Because they still have in their possession an aveira that's holding it back. They say this all the time. A person can do all the wonderful things, and nothing changes. Why? I did everything I'm supposed to do, but there's still an impediment. There's still something there that's holding back the breakout. Let's not make any mistake. For all the good deeds and all the davening, there's going to be reward at some point in time in the next world. But now, when you have a situation and you have to break out of the situation, we know it's not so easy. It's some people do it. Baruch Hashem, kol hakavod. Bring them in. You should train us. the art of tefillah, the art of breaking out of your mazel. But if we don't break out of the mazel, if mazel is dynamic, it's not static. That's the yisod of this pasuk. It's a very powerful yisod because some people, they're fatalists. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Is, I've tried already for 20 years, nothing has worked, I give up. No! Bo mazel tov.
Fatalist means that everything is fate. Everything is mazel.
Everything is, okay, that's not the word then, I mean. Because some people, you see this, many people feel this, you try the same thing again and again and again. What's the difference between a fool and a wise man? Everyone fails. Ein tzadik v'oretz asher yaseh tov lo yechol. The difference is a fool repeats his mistakes. And a smart man doesn't repeat his mistakes. Now, that idea, you have to balance that idea with this pasuk. Because, if you'll take that idea that a fool repeats his mistakes, if you haven't succeeded until now, and you've been doing the same thing for 20 years, don't try again. You're a fool. You're repeating your mistakes. That's true, but it's also true that your mazel changes. Mazel does change at some point in time. So you got to balance. You got to balance, not a gamble, you have to have chokhmah, you have to be very nuanced, very delicate. You have to balance these two principles.
You know, Rabbi, they did a study about 25 years ago about why poor people have a worse result from medical treatments than middle class and wealthy people. You know what they found? They got the exact same treatment, but the poor had the attitude that
attitude.
What will be, and they didn't follow directions. And that's why they had poor results.
Okay,
to do with the quality of care.
Okay, applies to everything in life. Okay, there are many elements. Not everything is super duper complicated, but we're just sort of laying out little pieces. And it's a fascinating Malbim. The Malbim over here is saying a very, very powerful yisoid regarding the principle of mazel. He's reading it into the pasuk. Into the pasuk, you're not dealing here, and he's saying over. That's why Klal Yisrael says Kol Shekhen. That's why it's nothing to do with you loving us. Now let's go further. Korama Hashem. Now is Hashem's response. Hashem's response is Korama Hashem. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines of 4 pasuk. Korama Hashem. Meishalochem Ahein. Heima Yivnu Vani Erois. Hashem responds. They will build. I will demolish. Hagam Shalufi Ateva Yichuyav Sheyivnu Ani Erois. Hashem says no. It's not true. It's not true. Even though their mazel is good, even if Esav will experience the best mazel, I will destroy them. I will intervene and obliterate them because I hate them, because they're evil. And you, Klal Yisrael, in contrast, even if your mazel is as low as it can be, I will intervene and bring you success. And that's only because I truly have true love for you. Ani hagam shalufi ateva yichuyav sheyivnu. Doesn't matter. Ani ehedois mitzad ha-hashkocha. Misinosios, and because of my hatred for them. The korolohem ad sheyiku lohem shesibas harisoysam. Harisoysam hu mishne ato'amim. Mitzad. Now, I will bring upon them Chorban to the degree where the Jewish people will be able to clearly define the reason for their destruction, and they'll put it into two categories. Number one, Aleph, Mitzad Shom Givul Shel Horisha. It's tit for tat, it's deeds, it's wickedness, it's a punishment for their inherent evilness. Corresponding to the Gvul Shel Hashem, Shesham Mo'in HaKedusha, corresponding to Eretz Yisrael, a place, a land of holiness, the Atzedek, the Shom Tziva Hashem Es Habracha, Shom Hu Gvul Shel Mo'in HaRisha, Zeh Le'um HaZeh, is a part of this world which is a land of wickedness, the Horah. The Chelik Azazel is the place where you send off the Azazel Yom HaKippurim, Shesham Yeh Tomir Choyde Rushmama, Beis, מצד שהם האומה שזום השם עליהם על עולם על ידי מעשיהם הרואים. Okay, he's saying that the two things that pretty much, my limited understanding, the same type of idea is that Hashem is responding to Klal Yisrael, it's not true. I hate them because they are evil. It's nothing to do with mazel. I love you because you are good. Nothing to do with mazel. And the proof is, even when you will see, when you'll be able to prove that they are experiencing a tekufa of good mazel, I will still come down hard on them and punish them in this world for their evil deeds. And you, even when you can define somehow, I don't know how you do these things, you can define that your mazel is no good, you will see, I will elevate you. That is an indication that I love you for who you are, and I hate them for who they are. End of the discussion. One more pasuk. Pasuk hey, ve'enehem tirena, your eyes will see us in the kama shi'as Hashem be'edem, al derech v'shilumas rishon tireh. The shilumas means the payment. The payment of the wicked you will see. In other words, Hashem will punish the wicked by paying them their due, giving them what they deserve. V'atem tarmu yigdal Hashem yal gvul Yisrael, k'shakamoshe tishpal, harisha u'gvulam yechurbas shmama. Just like they will be destroyed, likewise, zelu mazeh kein yigdal Hashem b'chvaydoi, Hashem will honor you, will elevate you mi'al mi'al gvul Yisrael, ki kesher gizkom zeh noifel, al derech imolo hocharava. The Klal Yisrael and Esau, we know that back from the time of back from the brachas of Yitzchak, is that if someone will tell you that Rome, Tsar and Yerushalayim, they're both destroyed, don't believe them. Tsar in this context represents the Esau. And if someone will say that both of them are built, do not believe them. If someone will tell you that Tsar is dominant and Yerushalayim is Chanav, believe it. And if someone says that Yerushalayim is dominant and Tsar is Chanav, believe it.
Esau and Yaakov.
So to review, we have now a new dimension to this conversation according to the Parish of the Mount. The Mount always goes where no man has gone before. He always goes the extra step. The Mount, he builds upon what the Kadmonim say, and he really goes further. He extends the conversation. No one did that on this stage. Not Rashi, not Radak, not Mitzudai. So he is only the Mount is extending the conversation. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, I love you. Klal Yisrael says to Hashem, really prove it. You don't love us. You have good ichos. The reason why you're good to us because of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, not because we're anything special. Hashem says, no, look at Esav. Esav has the same ichos as you, and I don't do anything good for them. I've destroyed them. So now the conversation continues. Don't give us that answer, Hashem. It's not because you don't like Esav. Esav has bad mazel, and we have good mazel. We have good mazel. It's not because you really love us. It's because we have good mazel and they have bad mazel. So Hashem says, no, you're going to see that even when the time comes, al derech hateva, that the mazel changes. Mazel is a clock. Okay, mazel is a clock. You don't have bad mazel forever. That's really what it's saying over here. It's a gilgul hachoyzer b'olam. The Gemara talks about poverty. Poverty, wealth. It's mazel. A cycle, Gilgul HaChayzer Ba'olam. There's a time when the bad mazel comes to an end. You're going to see that when the bad mazel of Edom comes to an end, and now is the time when Edom should be on top of the world, you're going to see I'm going to destroy them. And it only could be because I'm going to intervene, because I hate them, because they're wicked people. They're Rishayim. And you, even when your mazel is not so good, I'm going to elevate you. I've brought upon you wonderful brachas. It's because I love you. There's something special, there's something beautiful about Klal Yisrael. That's why I've selected you to be the Am HaNivchar. Beautiful, the Malam is expanding the conversation of Ahavti Eschem Omar Hashem. Rashi and the Mitzudos and the Radak, they stop short, the conversation ends when this Esav Sanesiv, Yosim Esarab Shimon, this Nachlos and Sanesiv, the conversation is over. No, the conversation continues according to the Malam. Let's discuss the principle of mazel. And the answer, and you'll see that Klal Yisrael says, oh, mazel. No, Hashem says mazel is finite. Mazel, bad mazels not go on forever. There's a point in your life, bo mazal tov. And that's the test. When the mazal tov comes and you're still knocked out, that shows divine intervention. And Hashem is going to obliterate them even during their good mazel. And Hashem is going to elevate us even during our bad mazel, because Ahavti Eschem Omar Hashem. Now let's take a look over here a few minutes. Let's look over here at the Chaimas and Noch. There is Noch. Is there a Chaimas Nochoyah? Am I getting confused? We did that already. The Chaimas and Noch, the Malbum, we did the Maral. Is there anything that we left out over here on the page? The Mamar Chazal. Are there Mamar Chazal over here on this page? I think we did everything, right? Okay, we did everything, Baruch Hashem. So let's now go on, just to start, I don't have that much to say today in the part two, so let's just start, maybe just touch, scratch the surface of the next section of one Pasuk, and then we'll stop, just 2 minutes. Pasuk Vav, Bein Yechabed Avi Eved Adonav. It's a very beautiful Pasuk. Okay, this Pasuk over here, describing over here, we all say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Avinu Malkeinu. There are two ways that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a child, and we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a servant. Each one, now, a lot of the Mepharshim will tell you, when they analyze the relate, they'll tell you what's better. They'll tell you a child is better. Right? They'll say, a child is a child. That's not necessarily true. An Eved has milos that a child does not have. An Eved has entitlements. A parent can punish a child. A child's not going to call 911. Or at least in this generation, they will. In this generation, unfortunately.
Child services.
You go and you say, Dad, can you buy me a new phone? And father says, no, it's not good for you to have a phone at your age. You don't need to have unlimited, unfiltered internet access. You're only 10 years old. So what does a child do? He dials 911. Child abuse. Right? That's this generation. But in the real world, if the father says no, the answer is no. The answer is no. If you're a slave, a slave has rights. There's a Shulchan Aruch. A slave, you don't just do whatever you want. There's a certain protocol that they follow. A slave can go to Beis Din. An Eved Kenani, there are halachas. An Eved Ivri, certainly. An Eved Ivri, Koine Eved, Koine Odalatzmai. If you're a slave, there's a bill of rights that a slave has. So you can say, Hashem, you told me no? Oh, that's not the way it works in this country. I may be a slave. I may indeed get minimum wage or get below minimum wage. You maybe have a right to do certain, but there are certain rights that are entitlements that you cannot deny me. So when we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're very desperate. And mitzad echad, we're a child. The love and what a father will do for a child is unlimited. But sometimes that can work as a disadvantage. Because if a father wants to banish a child, wants to punish a child, the father can do whatever he wants. The child's not going to call 911. That's just the way it goes. But if you're an Eved, excuse me, I have entitlements. Hashem, you can't do this. You can't just put us in exile forever. We're entitled. We're your servants. Avinu Malkeinu. When we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we pull out all of our ammunition, all the weapons that we have to get what we want. We refer to Hashem as a father and a servant. Some Mepharshim don't like what I just told you. They take a more simplistic approach. And they say the ultimate is to be a child. But just in case we don't meet up to Hashem's expectations of being deserving of being called a child, at least we should be called an Eved. Eved doesn't get a bonus. He doesn't get all of the perks. He's only an Eved. But still, an eved is an eved. So then it's a lower level. But I like the other approach, where each one has a mila that the other one does not have, so we're trying to go and take upon ourselves the milest of both. So here it says in this pasuk, Bein Yechabed Av. It is a given principle in this world, even among the Umay Sa'olam. Everyone knows the story of Dan ben Sina. Dan ben Sina had under his pillow, he had the key. Under Dan ben Sina, his father was sleeping, under the pillow of his father was the key to the treasure house where they were stored the stone for the Choshen. And he told the Chachamim, I'm sorry, my father is sleeping, I will not wake him up to retrieve the key, even for all the money in the world. Does that story make any sense to you? If you were the father, everyone asks this question, if you were the father, and then the Chacham, they go away and they get someone else, and the father wakes up and then the child says, Dad, you know what happened? While he was sleeping, they came and they wanted to give us $10 million for the key in order to retrieve that stone in the safe. But I told them, go away, because Dad's sleeping. I don't want to disturb him because the key's under his pillow. So what would the father do? He would say, you shaita, you didn't wake me up. You could have $10 million to wake me up for $10 million, you idiot. What kind of fool are you not to wake me up for $10 million? The story is a very strange story, no? What's going on? What exactly is it? The question is better than any answer you're going to get. You're going to say they lived in a society where the money wouldn't be, the father would not have gotten one penny out of it? It's hard to say that. It's hard to say. You want to say the father was senile and he has no concept of what money is? He was just basically, he lost his mind. And if he would be disturbed, if you would wake him up, it would disturb him. He wouldn't be able to go back to sleep for another day, and it would disturb his medication.
Disrespect would be going against the will of the father. The will of the father would probably be particular.
Exactly the question I just asked.
Right.
So any answer you're going to give me is not going to satisfy me. It's not satisfy me. And does not. The question is a much bigger question than the answers. What are you going to answer? You're going to answer, they lived in a society where the father would not have gotten one penny out of this. All the $10 million would go to the child. Believe me, a father is very happy if his child has $10 million in his bank account. Even if the father doesn't get one penny, even if the father has to pay $1 million so that his child should be secure and have $10 million in his account, the father would be very happy to be woken up in the middle of the night to know that his child is secure. So what? So you're going to tell me, the father was senile. He was totally senile. He doesn't even know what money is, and he was taking this medication. If you're going to wake him up, it's going to disturb his medication. He's going to be now, you're not going to be able to go through for the next 10 hours. So it wasn't kedai to disturb the father's sleep pattern, who's senile, in order that this fellow should make $10 million. If he's already anyway senile, what difference does it make?
If someone says, I have the key, but you got to hit it, cut his hand off.
That's not what it says. You got to chop his head off.
And you can be chaydul yosr on the waking up.
It's a very, very difficult piece of Gemara to really understand.
Because it's hard for us to understand.
It is.
How to give up so much money. It's our problem.
Why is this the human condition?
The son has to do what his son has to do. And the it's a chiyuv on the son that he has the mitzvah of kibbutz.
Right.
So his mitzvah is not to wake up his father.
Irrespective of the ultimate benefit.
Money, his father
he's
will
saying,
be
he's saying a very that's profound
not, that's
idea.
That's not the concern. The basic concern is what is he believing?
Okay, so you
for
so
example, if you give an etzah, you have to give an answer of what is good for that particular individual, not for you, for somebody else.
Okay, so what's your name? I apologize. Rabbi
Mintz.
Mintz. Your first name?
Last name is Mintz.
Mordechai Mintz. Mordechai Mintz is suggesting a very, very profound idea, which touches upon the etzem mitzvah of kibud avoim. What is the essence of kibud? Let's talk about us Jews. Is the mitzvah of kibud avoim, the very classic, are you allowed to be your father's dentist? By being your father's dentist, you're going to cause him a lot of pain. You're going to be drilling, but the ultimate, the end of the day, will be your father will be healed. Are you allowed to be your father's doctor? Right now, I'm gonna, Dad, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt a lot. I gotta go put your bones, so he gets like his bones are, you know, came out of their sockets. I gotta twist and turn. It's gonna be extremely excruciating and painful. But after we do this, you're set to go. So, in halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, is a child allowed to do this? The answer is yes. Why? Because we have a principle, this is a very powerful principle across the board in halacha. Chalel Shabbos Achas Kidei Sheyishmeru Shabbos Eishab. It has to daf yom yada longa. Why are you allowed to be Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos? Why? The Gemara gives many reasons. One of the primary reasons.
Ten different reasons.
Three or four, not there. The Chai Bohem. But one of the reasons that is presented in the Gemara, it's really the primary reason, is Chalel Shabbos Achas. Kidei, right, two times we had in Daf Yomi, two. Chalel Shabbos Achas Kidei, Sheyishmeru Shabbos Eishab. It's worthy to mechalel this Shabbos so that you'll have an opportunity to observe multiple Shabboses. L'mayin afkemina. What happens if the doctors say he will never, ever live to next Shabbos? This person is a goysis. He's not going to live more than a day or two. There's no way. There's no doctor in the whole world that will tell you al derech hateva that this person can live more than one day. So you're going to be mechalel Shabbos today for what? Achalel Shabbos askedei sheyishmeru Shabbos esharbe. He's not going to make it to next Shabbos. No way. No way. So, but chay yeshob. Who says chay yeshob is derech Shabbos? If the only principle is Chalel Shabbos Achas, then it wouldn't be. That's why you need to come on to the other reasons the Gemara presents. This reason is not strong enough. But this reason is a powerful reason in and of itself. And guess what? It doesn't just apply to Shabbos. This is a Yisoy that is applied to every single mitzvah, especially Kibud Avoim. Kibud Avoim. You have to give honor to your parents. You have to fear your parents. How can you go and cause your father pain at this moment in time? You're the father's dentist. You're his doctor. You're doing something for your father. You're causing him enormous agony. Dad, it's worth it. Suffer the pain. I'm going to cause you enormous pain what I'm doing now. But if you endure, if you will endure this pain, you will have tainuk, unlimited tainuk for years to come. By me doing this procedure.
Is there another dentist or doctor available?
Let's say there's not.
Well,
Let's say for argument's sake, it has to be done right now, and there's no one else. You're the only dentist in the whole America. And because of corona restrictions, they're not going to let you get on a plane because you have not yet taken the vaccine. So you're going nowhere, and you're the only dentist in America. So what is the rule? So are you allowed to do it? So here's the argument. Do we look at a mitzvah in the big picture of things, or are we very limited in our perspective, only focus on the moment? This is what Rabbi Mintz is trying to tell us is the chilik between a goy and a Jew. By a Jew, there's a principle chalel Shabbos Achas kedei sheyishmeru Shabbos esharbe. Don't look at the moment. Look at the big picture. Kibud Avoim is the same thing. Dad, I'm going to cause you enormous agony. But it's worth it. Look at the big picture. It's going to be, what I'm doing to you is going to give you enjoyment in the future. Go for it. A goy doesn't have that hekif, that perspective of looking ahead. They don't believe in olam haba. There is a narrow vision. They don't have in their observance of mitzvahs the big picture of Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmeru Shabbos Harbe. So when it comes to Kibud Avoim, if they really want to be Mechabe their father, they cannot, Adam ben Asina, cannot take into consideration the enormous benefit that will come by suffering at this moment in time. If you're going to wake up your dad, you woke me up. I was sleeping. How could you wake me up? How can you disturb my tranquility? How can you do this to me? Dad, $1 billion. Yeah, but not, the $1 billion comes later. Now is the tsar. Dov ben Asina, he took Kibud Avoim to such an extreme, corrupt, it's a corrupt extreme. This is not an extreme. This is not an. This is not a healthy. He looked at it now. He was a religious person, so to speak.
Or may not have been Jewish.
But he wasn't Jewish, I'm going to see him. He wasn't. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. He's, if he was a Jew, if you don't wake up the father will kill the son. Because Kibbut Avo Aim is the big picture. Kibbut Avo Aim is Chalel Shabbos Achas Kadei Shu Yishmeru Shabbos As Harbe. A goy doesn't have that perspective. So goyim anyway, they're not religious. They couldn't care less. Money is money. Who cares? But a religious Gentile who wants to, he's religious. He's an extremist. He's a religious fanatic. This is a mitzvah of Kibbut Av Ha'Aim. And that the mitzvah, but mitzvah Yisoy, that principle is now, right now. Right now, will my father feel pain? Yes, he will. Oh, but the ultimate benefit? They don't have that ability in their perverted understanding of religion to look ahead. It's finite. What was the reward? The reward was para aduma. What is para aduma? Para aduma is the big picture. Para aduma is the person that is involved in being mitaher, the tamei, he becomes tamei. There's a reversal. The person starts, I am tahar, you are tamei. I'm going to now prepare the para aduma water so you can become tahar. And what happens in the meantime? I become tamei. Wait a minute. Let's focus on the now. Right now, I'm tahar. How can you make me tamei? How can you make... You got to go look the big picture. You got to go look. The ultimate goal is this guy, this fellow, he's tamei. We need him to be tahar. And because we need him to be tahar, we got to focus on the future, on the end game. Even though the consequence will be you now are going to suffer, you're going to become tamei. The reward, it wasn't really a reward. It was a revelation to Dama ben Nesina. Dama ben Nesina, what did he do? Dama ben Nesina, we need from you the stone for the Choshen. No, I can't wake up my father. Fool, you're going to have $1 billion in your bank account. It's kedai to suffer now for the big picture. No, I don't understand this principle. So that was noble in his limited understanding. A year later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it about, he had a para aduma. He says to the Jews, what's this para aduma all about? Para aduma is when you use this animal to be mitaher somebody, but in the process of being mitaher someone, we're going to be mitame other people. It was a lesson. You know what the reward was? The reward for Dom ben Nesina was to teach him a Yiddish approach to the mitzvah of Kibbut Av Ha'Aim. Don't focus on the now. Focus on the big picture. You are approaching life in a very limited form. We're enabling you to be a partner in Para Aduma to realize that when you do a mitzvah, you don't always focus on the now. Built into the performance of mitzvahs is the goal, is the long-term benefit and goal. Like Shabbos, Halal Shabbos, Achri Yishish Shabbos Harbit. Para Aduma is the same idea. The goal is to make somebody tahar. But the only way to make someone tahar, what's the collateral damage? We're going to make a whole bunch of people tamei. All of the people that I'm prepared, the para aduma, become as a paradox of para aduma. How could it be that if para aduma brings about tahara, in the process, everyone that is involved in the preparation becomes tamei? The answer is goal-oriented mitzvahs. Focus, keep your eye on the goal. Dama ben Nesina was taught that lesson. That was his reward. It wasn't the money he got for the para. It was the lesson of the para. To teach him, apply that to your service of Hashem as well. And if you would have applied that to Kibbut Av Ha'Aim, you would have woken up your father. Because your father would be very happy to be woken up in order to see the enormous wealth And then that's not a violation of Kibud Av V'Aim, because Kibud Av V'Aim is a goal-oriented mitzvah, just like Shabbos, just like when you apply this principle in all the mitzvahs, that Eis Lasos LaHashem, take that example, Eis Lasos LaHashem Heferu Torah Secha. How are Chazal allowed to annul the Torah with Eis Lasos? You're allowed to put that in writing. You're not allowed to. It says Beferush in the Torah. Al pi ha-devarim ho-eileh. Along come Chazal. No. Eis Lasos. You can put down everything in writing. You have the Mishnah, the Talmud. You have the Rishonim, Achronim. You can have whatever you want. What do you mean? It's awesome. How Chazal allowed Eis Lasos LaHashem? The principle of Eis Las LaHashem is like Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmeru Shabbos Es Harbe. B'chol HaTorah Kula, you have to be a Talmud, you have to be from the Tandoi Me'am, we're going to do this, obviously. Not no fool to be a fool today to take upon themselves to do this. And that's not because but the Tandoi Me'am and the Amorim understood this principle, and they understood that the Torah is not to be viewed limited to the moment. The mitzvah is the goal. And if in the goal, you have to violate rules in order to achieve the goal of the mitzvah, dangerous game, it's a very dangerous, dangerous game that is permitted. If the goal is to learn Torah, and there should be al pi hadvarim o'ele karati yitchem bris, if the whole thing is al pi had, there should be dvarim o'ele. And if we're not, even though in the halach it says you're not allowed to write, but if you're not going to write, there's not going to be al pi hadvarim o'ele, eis lasis lahashem. That's goal oriented. Chalal Shabbos Achas, Tishim Shabbos Harbe, Par Aduma, that's built into the mitzvah itself. That's really more fundamental. Now, Avi, again, it's a dangerous game we're playing over here. Pasuk over here says, Yechabed Av, Ve'eved Adonov, a slave is master, Vim Ov Oni, Aye Kevoidi, Vim Adonim Oni, if I'm your master, Aye Moiri, where's the fear? Omar Hashem Tzvokos, Lochem HaKoyanim, Boizei Shmi, to you the Koyanim, who disgrace my name, Vamartem, Bameh, Vozinu, and Shemech, and you're in denial. This is the big, big pasuk in Tanakh. Denial. We are in denial of our sins. Okay, well, it's very late.